Okay, tonight is Monday, February 6th, or Yudalot Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah, bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabbi Tai, we're on the bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, the issue here is the mitzvah of Arava. And the Gemara currently believed that there is a conflict between something that Rabbi Yochanan said and something that Rabbi Yochanan said. Namely, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who told us that the mitzvah of Arava is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's its origins, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Yet, Rabbi Yochanan is also of the opinion that it's Yesod Nevi'im, that it is a Takana of the Nevi'im. Not necessarily Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. So the Gemara initially answered that yes, it was initially Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Then it was forgotten. Shokhum v'yasdum. The Nevi'im came back and restored a halacha that had previously been conveyed to us via Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's what the Gemara said currently. So the Gemara is going to challenge this and then present another interpretation, which is the simplest interpretation, which we didn't understand last week. Why didn't the Gemara get to right away? But right now the Gemara is operating that the two stages, that Arava is a takana of the Nevi'im or a minig Nevi'im, simply restored the original obligation. And we're talking about even Bizman HaMikdash. Bizman HaMikdash, it started out as Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Then it was forgotten during between the first and the second Beit HaMikdash. And then it was restored by the Nevi'im in order to be active once again during the second Beit HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, two lines from the bottom. Did Rabbi Yochanan actually say such a thing? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dilichon Amri, Dilahon He, Dilichon Amri, Dilahon He. This, according to Rashi, this means as follows. We know that there were two traditions of the Talmud. Everybody knows. There's a Talmud Bavli, and a Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Bavli are the discussions that recorded in Babylonia. And Talmud Yerushalmi is the discussions of the Talmud that took place in Israel proper. So initially said Rabbi Yochanan, initially I really believed that the tradition, the accuracy of the Masorah in Eretz Yisrael would be more reliable than that of Bavel. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, there was a time where the Jews were without enemy. They were able to remain within the land and not be subject to the normal, typical pressures that are associated with exile. Whereas in Babylonia, you had a lot of unrest. So I always thought that Torah's Eretz Yisrael was far superior than Torah's Bavel. That's what I always thought, said Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, as you well know, was first generation Chachmei Yerushalmi. He's one of the first Amoraic scholars who studied in Yerushalayim. And he learned much of his Torah from Rav. That's why hundreds and thousands of times it's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rav. Rav initially was also in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. He was the number one student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Rabbi Hanasi was never in Bavel, was always in Eretz Yisrael. Then, later on, Rav decided to make his way down to Bavel and remain in Bavel until he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Academy in Surah. But Rav Yochanan said, initially I thought, Torah's Eretz Yisrael is far superior. But now, I saw Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana told me that, no, The Torah in Bavel is far superior. Far superior. Therefore, it's a little difficult for me to explain, to tolerate the Gemara saying, if I am now acknowledging that Torah's Bavel is far superior than what? Torah's Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? Shokhum v'yastum? Shokhum? Nah, that's impossible. It's impossible. What happened? That the laws of Arava were completely forgotten, and who restored them? Who restored them when they came back from Bavel with Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi? They restored it. Those three Nevi'im, part of the Anshei Knesset Agdola. Nah, that's impossible. Why? Because Torah's Eretz Yisrael is far superior. They didn't forget anything. Therefore, I can't believe that Rabbi Yochanan would have established that position that the mitzvah Arava was halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It was forgotten. And when they came back from Bavel, the three Nevi'im restored it, and that's what it means, Yisoid Nevi'im. Says the Gemara, that's impossible. Why? Initially, Rabbi Yochanan said, Dilechon Amri, Dilechonhi. Dilechon is referring to what? One is referring, the word Lechon and Lahon means either them or us. Them or us. So initially I thought that what? That we were, our Torah is superior. Dilechon, Shalanu. Our Torah is far superior. Then I realized, Dilechon, their Torah is far superior. Well, if their Torah is far superior, it's impossible. Shokhum v'achakach yizdum. So the Gemara now recants and says, you're right. Loikasha. Now the Gemara is going to give the real answer. That the debate whether it's Minag Nevi'im or Takanas Nevi'im and Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai are not the same Halachic Tufa. Kan B'Migdash. The mitzvah in Beis HaMigdash is based on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That's where you're supposed to take Arava based on Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, only in the Mikdash. The debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi is only in Gvulin. After the Churban Abayis, they established Arava as a Zeichel HaMikdash. The Zeichel HaMikdash now is a debate whether it was introduced by a Minhag of Nevi'im, or was it introduced by a Takan of the Nevi'im. That's the simple pshat. So you don't have to say that anybody forgot anything, nobody forgot anything, nobody reestablished. Simply referring to two simple historical, two different historical time periods. And that is the simple interpretation, which the Gemara should have said 5 hours ago. Fine. Yeah. So now, we're going to take a look at Tosfos, a lengthy Tosfos, on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where Tosfos will now, this is the source, where Tosfos will now discuss brachos on a minhag. Assuming that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is correct, that there was no takana per se to take arava in chutz, in gvulin, as a zeichel mikdash, but was introduced by way of minhag, can you make a bracha? Can you not make a bracha? Tosfos will cite several illustrations, and I am going to wait for you to pounce on Tosfos, not wait for Rabbi Kivega to do so. The questions against Tosfos are fundamental, but let's read the Tosfos, where Tosfos will discuss many of the issues. There's also a parallel Tosfos in Maseches Brachos, and Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, where the discussion there is Hallel, and Tosfos here quotes it as well, but there is a discussion in Tosfos, but here is the primary Tosfos.
Is this talking about nowadays or even Bezman HaMikdash?
No. Bezman HaMikdash, it's a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Of course you would. No, only B'Mikdash.
There
was no mitzvah B'Gvul to take a Rava. Never. That's correct. That's what the Gemara answers now. Never a mitzvah. Only in Mikdash. And of course you made a bracha, because there was a mitzvah saseh.
It was only established after Churban Bayis Sheni.
That is correct. It might have existed during Churban Bayis Rishon also. In Gvulin. As commemorate what happened Chum Beis Bais Rishon. That's also possible.
It is.
That's a different issue. That's a different issue. What happened after the second Beis HaMikdash was restored? Did they maintain the minhag in Chutzla, in Gvulin? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. And it might depend on a much broader issue, much more important issue. Did they observe Tisha B'Av during Bayis Sheni? So the question would be, in effect, the broader question is, any activity which was done to commemorate the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, were all of those activities suspended as soon as they built up the second Beis HaMikdash or not? Logic would dictate, of course. Logic would dictate, why would I continue to engage in a Zecha LaMikdash if the Beis HaMikdash is standing right in front of your nose? So why would I be taking Arava in Tel Aviv when I can have a mitzvah midoraisa based on halacha l'moshim yisinai in the Beis HaMikdash? Why would I be fasting on the 9th of Av to mourn the destruction of this first Beis HaMikdash if the second Beis HaMikdash has already been built? So it's a machloikish rishonim whether the Jews observed Tisha B'Av, and that's part of the broader machloikish. Was it logical to maintain a zecher l'mikdash during second Beis HaMikdash? Now, the logic, of course, was that it's not. So why would anybody say that they would? So if you remember the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah, the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah, it's a very famous Haftarah. It's Parshas Bahaloyscha and Shabbos Chanukah. Rani v'simchi bas tziyom. So at the end of the Haftarah, which is lifted from the book of Zechariah, a vision appears to him of a menorah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, you know, Mo ata roeh? Well, what do you see? And he can't understand, and he says, I don't know what I see. What do you mean? It's so obvious. It's a menorah. Don't you understand that this is a symbol of what? The second Beis HaMikdash? Why was it so difficult for Zechariah to understand the imagery? Because the image that was presented to him, you look at the text, Vihine Minorat Zahav Tahor. The image which he had seen presented to him was an image of an absolutely pure gold menorah. Zechariah knew very well, as he was a Navi, that the menorah in the second Beis HaMikdash was not going to be made out of gold. It was not made out of gold. It was made out of lead. Why? Because during Bayis Sheni, Am Yisrael were poverty stricken, and they didn't have the money to spend on a menorah worth of gold. The Gemara in Brachos in the 5th Perek tells us, that's why they introduced Havdalah in Shmona Esrei on Saturday night. There was no reason to say Atachayin Antanu in Shmona Esrei. Havdalah, you make alakais. But they didn't have enough money to buy wine. So therefore they instituted Havdalah in Shmon Esrei, obviating the need to recite Havdalah alakais. The Gemara says that during the Herodian period, then they became a little wealthier, the end of Bayis Sheni, and they said, oh, let's get rid of Havdalah in Shmon Esrei. They said, you know what, keep it there. So if Zechariah is seeing an image of what? Of gold, now we understand, this is Rav Chaim's interpretation of the... Exactly! That's exactly it. He understood that the nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him was, yes, there's going to be a second Beis HaMikdash, but the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So what am I showing him? There'll be a third Beis HaMikdash. The third Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be Zahav Tahar, made out of pure gold. So if part of the nevuah to Zechariah was that the second Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, but it's already being foretold that what? That it's going to be destroyed, then it makes some sense to keep in place all of the activities which were designed to commemorate the destruction of the Mikdash, knowing the second Beit HaMikdash doesn't have very long to live, 420 years, and that's it. So in order to have a mechanism to perpetuate the Mikdash, they may have kept everything, including Tisha B'Av and all the other zichronot that they may have done, based on the fact that by way of Nivu'ah, they were told that the second Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed. In fact, according to the Midrash, Shlomo had a vision that the first Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. The first Beit HaMikdash, but the night that he built it, according to the Midrash, he had a dream, and that's why he built the tunnel in the Beit HaMikdash, the tunnel, where in case he told his children, that if you see the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash is imminent, take the Aron, throw it in there, lock it up and throw away the key. And that's exactly what happened. Not only did they put the Aron in there, they put the Urim V'tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which was not available during the second Beis HaMikdash. They put the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil there. It was not available during the second Beis HaMikdash. And two other things. They also placed in this little hole, and it's on the Har HaBayis. We know exactly where it is. Because the Mishnah in Yuma tells us that a cleaning man was fixing one of the tiles in the Beis HaMikdash. So he picked it up to see what happened. He died. As soon as he looked in, they understood. Why did he die? Because he violated the pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. V'lo yavo kivala es hakodesh v'meisu. You take a look at the Aron, you die. Nope. So they, instead of, could never understand, why didn't they just take it out? But they left it in there, and that's it.
The other two things?
What?
I don't remember
what the last two things were. I know it was the Urim V'Tumim, the Shemen HaMishcha, the Aron. What? The Tzinsenes and the Mater. Those two other things that were kept in the Mikdash.
Is an Ark of Titus is a lead menorah they schlepped?
Yes.
No. It's a golden menorah.
Gold plated.
I've heard it's this time.
Okay. You think that was it?
It's not an accurate depiction anyway.
Okay, whatever it is, I don't know what. That's what it was initially. It was made out of lead. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Before the destruction of the second temple was Zechariah's prophecy.
Zechariah's prophecy is the first temple, end of the beginning before the second. There's no nevuah during second Beis HaMikdash. All of the nevuah was about the rise of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no nevuah during the second Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, based on the fact that he couldn't understand what the imagery that God was showing him. Answer, he showed him gold and he knew that wasn't accurate. So therefore, it is possible that they would have had a Rava during the second Beis HaMikdash in Tel Aviv, knowing full well that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and the Halacha L'Moshe Mishina of a Rava is no longer going to be operative. So now let's take a look at Tosis about the issue of bracha on a minhag. Says Tosis, Kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulin. B'mikdash, halacha l'maishim yisinai. B'gvulin, pligi. The Rabbi Yochanan Omar yisoid neviim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar minag neviim. Upirish b'kuntras, it has been explained in the pamphlet. The Nafkamina, I think I've told you this 60,000 times. Why is Rashi called a kuntras? A pamphlet. Because what? That's the way it was distributed. He distributed to the people working in his winery, his employees. Whatever Rashi was learning, he wrote a commentary in which he distributed to his employees to make learning a little easier. He rewrote the pamphlet three times, and thank the good Lord, some publisher, printer, picked up the pamphlet and decided to publish it in the Gemara. Otherwise, we would never have had Rashi. So, in this kuntras, he writes, "Dinafkamina, the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Meshua ben Levi, the e takana hi by a bracha. If it is a takana, then Arava, as our Arava, which we pick up on Hashanah Rabbah, needs a bracha." We read this Rashi last week. The minog be'alma shehenhigu ha'am afilu bichlal lo sasur lesei. that a minog, which the people have decided to observe, is not even included in the law of lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol. Hence, you don't make a bracha. V'chein amrinan b'samach. So too, this is supported by the Gemara later on. Chavit, chavit v'lo barich, kasavar minag neviyamu. Chavit, in that case, it means they banged the Aravos, but they didn't make a bracha. Why did they not make a bracha? Kasavar minhag neviyim hu. Fine. V'yesh midaktikin mitoch kach. There are those who believe that this Gemara will now serve as the basis of the explanation. D'lo mivarchinan ahalel d'rash chodesh. She'enu ela minog ba'alma. That you do not make a bracha when you recite halal on Rosh Chodesh, because the recitation is only a minhag. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rav, when he came to Bavel, he noticed that they were reciting halal and his blood was boiling. Where in the world did you get this business to recite halal? Where did you get this business to recite the halal? After all, the Brisa in Erechin tells us there are only 18 days of year that you're supposed to say Hallel. In Chutz Laaretz, 21. 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, 1 day of Pesach, and 1 day of Shavuos. That's 18. In Chutz Laaretz, it's 9 days of Sukkot, Simchas Torah, the second day of Pesach, and the second day of Shavuos is 21. But Rosh Chodesh, no one is supposed to say Hallel. As soon as Rav noticed they started skipping Lailanu and Ahavti, they said, when it means you say half halal, he understood that it was a minhag. He understood that it was a minhag.
What about whether they said a bracha now?
Ah, that's going to be part of the discussion. It's part of the discussion. Rav Ikla Labavel. Chazi de Kakaru Halabarosh Chaydish. Savar Laafsakinu. So he was about to stop them. Shoma dekamidalgeva azle. He noticed that they started skipping parts of the halal as we do on Rosh Chodesh. Omar shma minhag avoseyim biyadayim. It is a minhag. Well, on a minhag you don't make a bracha. On a minhag you don't make a bracha. So therefore, Tosfos says that based on our Gemara, some people want to say, to justify the practice, that you do not recite a bracha on Hallel, on Rosh Chodesh, as is the practice of Edot HaMizrach. All Sephardic Jews do not make a bracha at the beginning or at the end on Rosh Chodesh. They start Halleluka, Halleluka, Avdei Hashem, and they end Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilolam Chasto. They do not say the bracha Melech Mehulo Batish Bachos. That's what Tosfos wants to say. So of course the argument would be, and Tosfos in Brachos says it explicitly. He'll mention this here as well. If they did not say a bracha, then why did Rav have to wait until they started skipping Leilanu to recognize that it was a minhag? Gemara said, Savalav Sakinu. He wanted to stop them. So apparently, until they got to Loilanu, it looked like a regular Hallel. A regular Hallel would probably include the recitation of a bracha, and therefore he was ready to stop them. Well, they skipped Loilanu, he knew it was a minhag. But apparently, they did make a bracha. That's what Tosfos in Bracha says. But anyhow, Tosfos says, some want to claim that our Gemara is the basis of the minhag not to recite halal on Rosh Chodesh, with a bracha with Rosh Chodesh, based on the fact that it's introduced only by way of minhag. V'ha de ka'amar Rab Yochanan Hasam, yudches yom yachid gomer es ha'halel bohen, ubegole chaf aleph. Now, there the expression of the Rabbi Yochanan is 18 days a year a yachid is gomer es ha'halel. Now, you can erroneously interpret the word gomer as to complete, which would generate the impression that there is such a thing called half halel. 18 days a year a yachid completes the halel. And then there are X number of days, but you don't complete the challah, you say what we call half challah. Says Tosis, that's a mistake. The word gomer in Mishnah and Gemara doesn't necessarily mean to what? To complete. What does it mean? To read, to study. Exactly, to read it. Gemara doesn't mean to complete anything. Gemara means to learn. So to read something can be, that's what Tosis is going to say. Lo mishum de lehevi achrini takana shiyukorim bediluk doesn't mean to infer that other days you're supposed to go ahead and recite a bracha. Ela yachid gomer hainu kimo yachid kore. The word gomer means yachid kore, an individual reads the halel. The urche de hashas de mishtoi hachi. That is the way the Talmud refers to reading. How do I know, says Tosfos? Ki ahi d'tanya b'perakama d'brachos. Vasikin hayugomin osa im hanetzacham. In trying to determine when you're supposed to recite Shmona Esrei and Kriyat Shema, everybody knows the Gemara Brachos in the fourth parak, which says, Vasikin hayugomin osa im hanetzacham. What did the Hasikin do? They used to recite the Shema 5 minutes before Nates, so that you would start exactly Shmona Esrei, exactly at Nates. And that's what it means, to read the Shema 5 minutes before and say the Shmona Esrei exactly at Nates Achama. Doesn't mean to finish anything, even though it could have meant to finish.
You always say Kori at Hashma. You never say Kori. Yeah, like
now, but there it says Gomen as
Hashma. Does it mean finishing the Shema?
Right? I understand, but Tosfos says it doesn't mean that.
Okay.
It could have meant that I finished the Shema and the Brachos of Shema.
Right.
Exactly. That I get up to Gal Yisrael exactly by sunrise. Right? But Tosfos said, no, that's not what it means. That Vasikin, how you they used to read it. The Rabbeinu Tam, now comes the thing. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, the Ein Raya Me'arava L'Halel. You can't bring any proof from the minug of taking an Arava on Sukkos and the minug of saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh with a bracha. The Arava Eina Ela Tiltul. What is Arava? Just moving a piece of wood. V'kevan delav takantehi ela minhaga. Since there is no takana, no mitzvah to take it in Chutz La'aretz or in Eretz Yisrael out of the Mikdash, lo chashiva lemikva lo bracha. It's not considered sufficiently important, worthy of establishing a bracha. Avol kriyas hahalel. Lo gora mikore batorah, but kriyas halel is not any worse than reading the Torah. Stop right there for a second. So Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam now is going to say that the mere fact that you don't make a brach by a rava has no bearing on our halacha of what? Of reciting Halel on Rosh Chodesh. And what Tosfos has in mind as follows, it's elaborated by the Briska Rav. He elaborates on it. It says as follows. You have to look at the action which Chachamim are asking us to do. Is there any validity whatsoever? Does it have any relevance, any significance, if you pick up a piece of wood and you bang it on the floor? Absolutely not. What endows that strange activity with spiritual significance? The fact that somebody told us to do it. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Chachamim. But if nobody told you to do it, it's basically the action itself is pretty silly. Taking a piece of wood and banging it on the floor. Pretty silly. Hence, in the absence of a formal takana, claims Tosfos, you can't make a bracha. But if you recite Hallel, can you claim that the words which you are reciting are meaningless, stupid, empty, devoid of any religious significance? How can you? What you're doing is engaging in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're saying psukim of Tanakh. Therefore, claims the Rabbeinu Tam, even in the absence of a formal command, the recitation of the Hallel is laden with spiritual significance, hence it warrants a bracha, even though there is no mandate to do so. So claims the Rabbeinu Tam. And he gives you an analogy. Kikoire batoira. Now let me explain what he means here, Kikoire batoira. And this, Rab Chaim is responsible, this very, very famous Rab Chaim. And I'll give you the halacha which Rab Chaim uses as his point of departure. We've mentioned several times that the Rambam Shita is that any time a person who is not obligated to observe a mitzvah engages in the performance of that mitzvah, that individual is not entitled to make a bracha. Everybody, we mentioned this last week, if Nechama takes a lulav, sits in the sukkah, according to the Rambam, she dare not say, Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvah of tzivonu on the tefillas lulav. Cannot say, alei sheit basukkah. That's all of Acheinu b'nei Yisrael of Eidot HaMizrach. That's how they follow the Rambam, quoted by Maran, the Mechaber, never recite a bracha on a mitzvah which they're not obligated to observe. Standard practice. Yet, the Rambam himself, the Maror d'Shmaitzer of this halakha, writes that women who study Torah must recite Birchas HaTorah. Must recite Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam himself, has written in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's in the first halacha of Hilchos Talmud. That's a strange way for the Rambam to start the halacha. Men are obligated, women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Based on the fact that it says what? What does it say? Ukshar, what? B'limanetem osam is b'neichem, drash, b'neichem v'lo is b'noseichem. Fine. So women are exempt from the formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why does the Rambam say that they should make a bracha when they study Torah? So Rab Chaim's famous vart, the Rav gave a whole yardside share on this, on Birchas HaTorah, was that even though the text says, Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvoso v'tzivanu, the essence of a Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. What is Birchas HaTorah? Rab Chaim's words, it's a Birchas Hananin. It's like a bracha which you make on an apple. Before you eat an apple, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the pleasure of eating that apple. Before you study His Torah, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to derive pleasure from the study of His Torah. And therefore, even though women are not technically obligated to what? To recite a bracha on a mitzvah, that's only where the nature of the bracha is designed to highlight the mitzvah. Here, the nature of the bracha is not to highlight the mitzvah, but rather, if you wanted to use halachic terminology, the cheftza shel Torah. Torah itself requires a bracha. In fact, there are some rishonim, and Rab Chaim continued with this, who say the following. What is the rule of pinky when you are not sure as to whether or not you made a bracha for a Birchas HaMitzvah or not? You went into the sukkah and said, did I say Leishei Basukkah or not? What are you supposed to do? You do not say another bracha. On all safek, the rule is safek brachos lahakel. Says Rab Kivager, sixth parak of brachos, that applies only to Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas Shevach, but not to Birchas HaNenin. If you're sitting in front of an apple, you ate half of it already, and you're not sure whether you said Bari Priyo Eitz, says Rab Kivager, you have to make another bracha. Why? Because it's a Suffolk Zela. Suffolk Zela. If you don't, the Gemara in Brachos says that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. LaHashem HaAretz Umloah. Everything in this world belongs to Him. The other Pasuk says, no. Ha'aretz nasan b'bnei Adam. Man owns everything on this earth. Well, which one is it? Does God own everything or does man own anything? Answers the Gemara. Lifnei bracha l'acha bracha. Before you make a bracha, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He releases it then. And if you don't make a bracha, it still belongs to him, so it's thievery. Thievery is an Issa d'Oraisa. Therefore, claims Rav Kiveger, Safek, Birchos, Hananin, you have to repeat them again. Some Rishonim say the same thing is true about Birchos HaTorah. If you're not sure whether you said Birchos HaTorah or not, even if you hold like the Rambam, and like 99% of all Rishonim, who say that Birchos HaTorah is only Midrabbanan, no Midoraisa to say Birchos HaTorah, no Mitzvah Midoraisa to say Birchos HaTorah, nonetheless, you would have to make Birchos HaTorah again. If you were in doubt as to why, because it's like a Birchos HaNanin. The pleasure that we enjoy, and in fact, that's why you have that elongated part of the bracha. Not just Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, or in the Sephardic version, al divrei Torah, but the next phrase, v'ha'arev lanu Hashem Elokeinu. Make it pleasant. Make it enjoyable. Why am I saying, you don't say that by any other mitzvah. But here, that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to derive pleasure from the mitzvah of learning. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of the mitzvah.
Is the bracha chal on what you learned before, or the piece of apple you ate before, or
what you're going to learn right now?
What
you're going to be learning,
right.
100%.
But what does that prove?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, what do you mean?
In other words, if you forget a bracha,
no, the same thing is true. No, what about if you forget a bracha mitzvah?
You say it again.
If you have a bracha mitzvah, I don't know if I said leishay basuka.
Right, you don't say it.
Why not?
Suffolk.
Why? The same thing here. If I don't know if I said a bar priates,
yeah,
on what I ate already.
Right.
What should I do? You, according to Rabbi Kivegas, say the bracha.
Even if not another bite?
On what?
If I'm not going to have another bite, no.
No.
Yeah,
only on the future.
That's what I meant.
Right, of course not. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that,
do we pass on Reb Kivega? Depends if you're a chassid of Reb Kivega. Some people do. So are you a chassid of his?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Question.
Most people don't. Most people find his chiddush too outlandish to incorporate lahalacha. We don't pass on like that. Yeah.
Brachan haftarah. Haftarah is minog or takana?
Haftarah is takana, you have to say it, 100%. So now, therefore, claims the Rabbeinu Tam, Hallel has that same halacha of what? Of Torah. Since it's an article of what? Of Torah Shebiksav, therefore it merits a bracha, even independent of a mitzvah. So you have no right to conclude, based on our Gemara, that there is no bracha on our Rava, to conclude that there is no bracha on Hallel. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, of course you make a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. And that's our practice, the Ashkenazic practice, quoted by the Rama. That based on this Rabbeinu Tam, where he sees that there's a distinction between Hallel and Rosh Chodesh and our Rava, we, Ashkenazic Jews, do go ahead and recite a bracha. The Rav always used to say, three generations of people. Grandfather, Reb Chaim, never said a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. Never. Followed the Rambam all the way. Father, he said, if he davened with a minion, said a bracha. But if he davened b'yechidus, he did not make a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. And I'm the biggest guy. Said, I make a bracha every time. So, it's all with Father. That's all. I'm just make a bracha all the time. That was the Rabbeinu Tam. That's number one.
The text of the bracha is irrelevant?
The text of the bracha. So I can bring 6,000 birchas ha-mitzvah. Not 6,000, that's a little exaggeration. Which has nothing to do with a mitzvah. I spoke about the Shabbos about an Eruv. Can you find me any place that is a mitzvah to put up an Eruv? There is none. Eruv is a matir. If you want to put it up, put it up. If you don't want to put it up, every community that does not have an Eruv for thousands of years, they violated absolutely nothing. And yet when you do make an Eruv, you say, Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu ala ruv v'chatzeros. Because the bracha there is on a mati. It enables you to carry in the in a karmelis. No mitzvah to make an eruv. Same thing with chumen. What?
Tzitzis also. You don't have to.
No, but it is a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. But it's not a mitzvah. You're right. No, but when you put on a four-cornered garment, you're obligated to wear tzitzis. When you wear a four-cornered...
What I was getting at, if you want to suggest that the mitzvah that we're being mekayim when we read this halal is Talmud Torah, is that what he's trying to say? Or is not?
He's saying it's like Talmud Torah.
So why are we making a bracha? Why are we making the cross a halal?
Okay, it's a good question. But he meant... He didn't say it's just Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah of saying Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since you're using Psukim of Tanakh, it has validity even without a mitzvah.
He wants to take it out of the parsha of Arava.
Correct. That's all he's doing. He's stretching. That's exactly what his job is. To say this, can't bring any proof from Arava as all Chachmei Sfarad did. Then he goes on further. And I'm going to bring you some proof, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that I am right. Ashkechan, we find, Dimivarchin Ashne Yomim Toivim Shel Golios. Don't we make a bracha on Yantav Sheni? Every one of us? We make a bracha on Yantav Sheni. Ve'eino Ela Minhog Ba'alma. And the whole observance of a second day Yantav is only a minhog. Where did Tosfos get that business that it's only a minhag? Because it's called minhag avoseinu biyadeinu. Of course, that's the question which everybody asks on Tosfos. So he's trying to pull the wool over us and say that just because. Now, hold on a second. Which bracha is he referring to that we make on Yantav Sheni?
Kiddush.
What? Kiddush. Good. To say yontif davening. So there, that generates, Now, does that have the same? Is that compared to what? Is that more comparable to Arava to Hallel? The fact that you observe a second day yontif, Tosis is now trying to tell us, that's more analogous to Hallel, and therefore it's good to make a bracha. It's not compared to Arava, for which you don't make a bracha. Why not? Why?
The Bryce itself mentions 21 days in Chutz Arutz. Right?
No, but that's because of Yantiv.
Okay, Yantiv Sheni, right?
Right.
The Bryce itself says you feel halal 21 days.
Right.
So with a bracha, right?
Correct.
So honestly, what's the main time saying there?
No, he's bringing proof not just from the halal. He's bringing proof from the whole institution of Yantiv Sheni. The whole institution. That you daven yantav davening and so on and so forth. See, Hallel, he already excused that I know you make a bracha.
Regardless.
But how do you say Shmon Esri of yantav? How do you make Kiddush? Must be that you make a bracha on Hallel. On a minhag. Must be that you make a bracha on a minhag. Let's continue with Tosfos. Umiyu ein mizeraya. There is maybe this last thing that I tried to convince you of is not really as wholehearted a proof. Why? The reason why you don't say a bracha on Arava if the practice originated only based on minhag, mishum delo efshar lomar vitzivanu. Ubeiz yamim toivim shel galios. Ein bohem vitzivanu, elokidish lahaskaras hayom, b'tfila ubeberchas hamazon. On Yantav Sheni, we never say the bracha vitzivanu. So, therefore, I don't have any problem with Yantav Sheni. That's what everybody's going to ask. Good. Who's your man, Rab Kiveger? He's on the bottom. I didn't need Rab Kiveger to ask this kasha. But what question, what is Tosfos trying to say? That Yantav Sheni is not really comparable to my case. Because what bracha am I debating in this case, whether it can or cannot be recited based on a minhag? A bracha that has the word vitzivanu. So Arava, you cannot say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos vitzivanu al Arava, because there's no command to take it. It's only a minna. But Hallel, you can say Vitzivanu, even though there was no command. Yantav Sheni, you never say the word Vitzivanu anyhow. All you have, I'm just telling you what Tosis is saying, all you have is Kiddush, and to mention Yalav Yavo in Berachas Hamazon, nothing else. So, on the bottom of the page, if you have Reb Kiveg there, if you have Reb Kiveg, but I'm going to say, normally, we would never... You need Reb Kiveger to ask a kasha. This kasha, everybody would ask without it. If you have Reb Kiveger on the bottom of your page, it's on the left-hand side of the Gilyan HaShas. Does everybody have it? No, if you have the Steinsaltz, you don't have it. The Art Scroll has it, I believe.
No.
Does not? Art Scroll does not Reb Kiveger? Gilyan HaShas. The Gilyan HaShas. Where it's on the bottom, it says, V'kashali. Everybody have that? Toisvis B'dibra Maschel Kan B'Mikdash. Everybody have it? Toisvis B'dibra Maschel Kan B'Mikdash. Koshali. D'mikol makom yikshe mi birchas alachilas matzah. Vi alachilas maror. B'leil beis de Pesach. What's Toisvis talking about? You don't say Vitzivanu on a second day of Yantiv? Of course you do. By the Seder, we all make up second Alachilas Matzah and Alachilas Maror. So what's Tosis talking about? That the only, therefore, Yontav Sheni is not really enter in our discussion. Because you don't say the word Vitzivanu anyhow. So if you don't say the word Vitzivanu, I don't have to worry about if its origin is purely a minhag or it's not purely a minhag. Asks Tosis, what do you mean? You say Vitzivanu. Look at Reb Kiveg answers. Says Reb Kiveg, "V'ulai yesh lechalek beinusach bracha b'lashon la'asos kain ubein nusach b'lashon al." Achar zem matzasi shehiksha kain haran ayin b'taz and so on and so forth. Says Reb Kiveg, maybe the difference is as follows: that if you say Vitzivanu le, that God told me le'echol matzah, Vitzivanu le'echol maror, that I would hear as a problem. God didn't, nobody told me to eat matzah. Nobody told me to eat maror. But to say Vitzivanu al achilas matzah, al achilas maror, that's okay. That's less of a problem. Why is that less of a problem? Just because you're saying Al versus the Lamed? And furthermore, what are you going to say about the second day of Rosh Hashanah?
About the Hagad Ner.
Yeah. Or Lishmoa Kol Shofar. Second day of Rosh Hashanah. Lishmoa Kol Shofar. So this Tosis is extremely, extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. What do you say? Rabbi Kiveg is also there. Rabbi Kiveg's Kasha is a very obvious question. His answer is very difficult to understand. Why should there be a difference between the text of Al and the text of the Lamed?
Well, Al just means it's been commanded to me at some point.
Okay, that's assuming that's what the difference... There are 600 Rishonim who try to come up with rules when you say the Lamed form, when you say the Al form. And every one of them has 400 exceptions.
More exceptions than the rules.
So one of the Balei HaTosis, the Ri, said, there are no rules. It's just arbitrary. Don't get excited. It's arbitrary. If you look at the Rambam in Perek, the Rambam, six halachas. In Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, he spends the last six halachas trying to come up with rules. When you say the Lamed, when you say the Lamed, do you do the mitzvah yourself? Can you do it for somebody else? Is it a mitzvah to Rabbanon? Did you do it? Do you make a bracha after you did it? 60,000 things. This is Rabbi Kiveg's suggestion is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Furthermore, as Tzvi suggested, the whole discussion of Yontav Sheni, and this is the Ran's question, has no bearing to this entire discussion. You can't prove anything from Yontav Sheni, because Yontav Sheni is not a minhag. How did Yontav Sheni get started? A takana. famous words in Beitza, Sholchu Mitam. They sent a message from there, from Israel. He Zoharu Benigavasecha. Whatever your parents have been doing, wherever you observe 2 days Yom Tov, we are now telling you to continue to observe 2 days Yom Tov. It was done by Tzivui. And Rashi explains why. What was the rationale for indicating 2 days Yom Tov? So Rashi, I told this last time. Based on the fact that if they were to go back to sanctifying the new moon based on the testimony of witnesses, then in Chutz La'aretz, you would not know which day of Yom Tov it is again. And you would have to observe 2 days Yom Tov, because you would be in doubt as to when the real Yom Tov was. But you would say, hey, last 10 years we didn't observe 2 days Yom Tov. So in order to make sure that when there will be a return to the original system, that people are in the habit, in the practice of observing 2 days Yom Tov, therefore they said, always 2 days Yom Tov. But it was a takana. Somebody told him, trust me, we would never develop such a minhag on our own. 2 days Yom Tov. How would anybody want to observe 2 days Yom Tov just on a minhag? You lose a day's income, you know, it's sitting through another Seder. Why? It was a takana. Once it's a takana, that's the end of it. End of discussion. So what's Tysus talking about? That's the Ran's question on Tysus. Tysus is bringing in here Yom Tov Sheni to substantiate his opinion that there are times when you make a bracha on a minhag just like you made it on Hallel, and our Rava should not be the banner, right? The prototype. You don't make a bracha on a minhag of our Rava, you don't make any bracha on it. This is not a minhag. It's a takana. Sholchu meitam. He zoharu. They used the word b'minhag avoseichem v'yadeichem. But it wasn't introduced by way of minhag. Wasn't that's the Ran's kasha on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Manoach, was a commentary on the Rambam, says that Yom Tov Sheni, Halal on, addressing your point about Halal on Yom Tov Sheni, is 100% okay. Because what happens? What does it do? What's the primary difference between a work day and a yantav day? What's the primary difference? Correct. Issa malacha. When you have a heter to do malacha, a person doesn't have time to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. Yes, you daven morning, daven mincha, daven maariv. The rest of the day, you're concentrating on your own activity. When there is yantav, I'm going to read you his lashon. Lam wrote that it says, Minag avoseichem biyadeichem. Even if Tysfus were right, that it's only a minag, what do we say during Hallel? Shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheshovsin mimelacha, upnuyin hein lehisaseik ba'avoydas Hashem. By observing a second day Yom Tov, an extra day Yom Tov, we are now freeing ourselves of the burden of malacha and enabling us to do what? To what? To be free, have more time devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that in itself, says the Rabbeinu Manoach, it's kedai to make a bracha. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you Rabbeinu Shel Olam, based on the fact that you created a first day Yom Tov, and what did we decide to do? To make a second day Yom Tov. And now we have more time to engage in your service. That idea alone merits a bracha, so claims the Rabbeinu Manoach. So claims the Rabbeinu Manoach.
Yeah.
Nope. Nobody I've seen has an answer. Nobody has an answer. Then later on, Tysfus will address the story that I told you, and he says, he quotes his thing. So Tysfus himself says, Josh, exactly what you wanted to say? You know why Rav didn't notice that there was a minhag based on Hallel? Because he came late. He walked in the middle of a hallel. So therefore he didn't know that they said a bracha, didn't say a bracha. Okay, fine. Fine. It's possible. Tysus himself says that later on. What? Yeah, maybe that's the first day he walked down from Bavel. He was just coming down from Eretz Yisrael. He just came from the airport, and there he was. He came in. That's it. First time in Bavel. First time in Bavel. Yeah. So the bottom line is of this Tosfos is that it winds up that of all the things that might be minhag, there's only one thing which we don't make a bracha on. That's Arava, Ashkenazim. The only thing. With Rosh Chodesh, only the Sfardim adopted the line of thinking. If you don't make a bracha on Arava, you don't make a bracha on a Hallel. However, here there is a machloikis between the Raivan and the Ramban. Fundamentally, both the Raivan and the Ramban subscribe to the Rambam that you should not make a bracha on a minhag. But there is another day during the year when Hallel is only recited by way of minhag, and that's on Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach. Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach, we also say what we call half Hallel. And whenever it's half Hallel, you know it's a minhag. Good. So the Rambam says black on blue, you do not make a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, nor during any days of Chol HaMoed or the last days of Pesach. No bracha on Hallel. Good. The Ravid says, ekronit, fundamentally, I agree with the Rambam. But we're going to make a bracha on Hallel anyhow for Rosh Chodesh. Why? Kidei lefarsimo shehu Rosh Chodesh. Just to publicize the fact that it was Rosh Chodesh. If they would do something spectacular, you would now cause a heightened awareness of it. And many times, things within the liturgy were introduced for one reason and one reason only. Just to publicize something. In our liturgy, it's done to highlight the fact that today is Shabbos, not Yom Tov. Whenever Rosh Hashanah comes out on the first day of Shabbos, you look at the little note on the bottom of the Shachris and you say, today you say the Yitzis of the next day. Right? The verse. Trust me, there is nothing in the second day that has any more connection to Shabbos than the first day. There's nothing, zero. Why do we reverse it? Just to let people know today's Shabbos. Because if it's Yom Tov, you'll carry, you'll cook. So you have to remind people that it's Shabbos. So one of the ways in which they engage in reminding people that it was Shabbos was switching the Yitzhak. Say tomorrow's Yitzhak today. Today's Yitzhak tomorrow. So Pirsum was a very and especially Pirsum of Rosh Chodesh. Don't forget, nobody has a calendar. Says the Rabbi, I agree with you, Chol HaMoed Pesach. No doubt you do not make a bracha. But Hallel Rosh Chodesh, says the Ravid, there's a different reason, Kedei Lefarsim Moshe Rosh Chodesh, to publicize it, therefore you have to make a bracha. The Ramban says just the opposite. Mr. Rambam, I agree with you, of course, that you don't say Hallel Rosh Chodesh. No, but Chol HaMoed Pesach, you say Hallel. Why? Because the Ramban is of the opinion that the address of Hallel is not a mitzvah midrabanan, which the Rambam states. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, Kriyas HaHalel Le'olam Mitzvah Midivrei Sofer. Kriyas HaHalel is always only a rabbinic mitzvah. So says the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. The Ramban says, no, Yom Tov Hallel is Doraisa. Based on the phrase Mikra Kodesh. Every Yom Tov is described as Shabboson Mikra Kodesh. How do you proclaim the sanctity of the days? Says the Ramban, one of the ways to describe the sanctity of the day is to describe, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim v'niflaot that took place during that particular Yom Tov. So on the Yom Tov of Pesach, for Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, for the fact that He provided Sukkos for us. So since it's part of the Kedushas Hayyim, well, there's Kedushas Hayyim of Pesach, all 7 days of the Yom Tov, not just the first day. And therefore he believes that Midda Oraisa, you're supposed to say Hallel. And as a result, even though it's not listed in the Mishnah amongst the 21 days, nonetheless, claims the Ramban, you do say a Hallel with a Bracha. But Rosh Chodesh, I fully agree with the Rambam that Hallel is only a Minug, and therefore you do not say Hallel Rosh Chodesh with a Bracha. And that's and there the Ramban agrees with the Rambam.
According to the Rabbi, isn't saying Hallel enough already of a public like, why are you saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh Rol?
Okay, it could have been done, but many times the Gemara, when you want to add significance to something, as I told you last week, the Gemara in Sukkah, we'll see this later on, said that initially when you observe 2 days Yom Tov, they only wanted to do Issa Melacha. And people thought it was a joke. So if you want to do something with Chashivut, you want to make it significant, put it with a bracha. In fact, the Rav once quipped, how come so many people don't eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Because the Gemara said there's no bracha. So once there's no bracha, it can't be so serious. If it would be a bracha, then of course you'd know you're supposed to do it. But since the Gemara itself said, Yesuvi Yesmer, it's not it. That's why half the world, more than half the Jews, 3/4 of Jews are not frum. So of course they don't sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. But even those who are frum, yeah, at least 50-50, at least half the world will see them. At least. 100%. What?
The rest are not yet.
I'm not yet chassidim. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next week about a couple of further descriptions of the mitzvah of Rava and the interrelationship between Arava and Lulav.